Welcome to the Teams Insider podcast. This week we have Steve McLennan from AstraZeneca, and we're talking about AstraZeneca's journey from what was a pure Cisco conferencing environment to Microsoft Teams and over 1,000 Microsoft Teams rooms now in play. It's a really interesting journey, and Steve shares thoughts along the way of vendor assessment, how the industry is changing, and what the strategy is there. Really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks to Steve for taking the time. And many thanks to Ribbon, who are the sponsor of this podcast. Really appreciate their support of everything we're doing at Empowering Cloud. So I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the pod. Excited for this one. Not very often you talk to somebody who's has experience deploying over 1,000 Microsoft Teams rooms. There's going to be a lot to talk about on this show. I've got my friend Stephen. Stephen, just want to give us an intro and a bit of background?
Yeah, sure. Steve McLellan, work at AstraZeneca. I'm the associate director for solutions engineering, specifically to conferencing. Been working here for about 10 years and been in the industry for over 20.
Awesome. I loved our prep call. It felt like we could have talked for hours. There's so much you've experienced in AstraZeneca and what you've been doing. Maybe you can take us a little bit on that journey, because I know AstraZeneca used to be a hardcore Cisco house, and now you're on the Microsoft journey, which is interesting.
Sure. Yeah. We're on the Microsoft journey. Still a hardcore Cisco house, but weaning off of it. And yeah, when I started contracting with them back in 2013, 2014 is when I got picked up, and we took on a big task, which was to bring the primary company, AstraZeneca, and a subsidiary company, MedImmune, that they had acquired some years back, and really bring them in, combine them, make them as one for their video and communication strategy. And there was two separate Cisco estates. There's two Microsoft Link on-prem estates at the time, and then a little bubble of HP Halo telepresence rooms spotted around our high-profile offices. And we had the task to figure out a way to bring that all together.
For those that don't know the scale, what kind of user count is that? And room count is quite big, isn't it?
Yeah, at the time, it would have been about 75,000 users. And room count at the time, total combined, was only about 580. So it's interesting to hear what growth happened after. So what we, during that time, 2014, we scoured the market and came up with what was a disruptor at the time, which was Ocano. And we implemented Ocano, which brought Link, which then turned to Skype for Business, Interop to our video conference rooms straight away. And then we replaced the HP Halo rooms with Cisco Telepresence, TX9000s at the time. And that built, and then we brought in external guests, which was a big gap in the market at the time. And not just video conference systems, but external guests via web browser. That then set us on a, trajectory to make anyone be able to communicate on a video call any place, anytime, from desktop, from mobile, from conference rooms, and from telepresence rooms. And that then that started to evolve as it took some time to, of course, get implemented. And then the Skype for Business interop grew and evolved and molded to the point where we no longer, we had a service called VMR, virtual meeting room. So you had a Skype meeting or you had a VMR, and the VMR is kind of video conference call. That then evolved to, you no longer had to choose to whether you were going to do a Skype meeting or VMR, with the seamless interop between that that brought to the market. And then, of course, was bought out by Cisco. We then, once we got to the point where we took away that need to choose, is it a VMR, is it a Skype meeting? It's just every meeting is a Skype meeting, whether, once again, you're in a telepresence room, even if you're only connecting video conference endpoints, it's still connecting, getting stitched together on the Skype infrastructure. But it really was the self-service ability for people to schedule things, because video conference rooms were traditionally very, in our old days, white glove and scheduled, and a bit overwhelming and scary to end users, especially in those days. We still had some remote controls kicking around as we, and so the big thing was force and drive a consistent user interface and not custom. So we really stuck with the Cisco standard user interface, and then make it easy for users to book and join the call. And once we fully enabled self-service, we just saw bundles of year-over-year growth of adoption. And we have that all recorded. We have beautiful charts to show that from our analytics company, Viopta, which we use to ingest all of that data through those years to make informed decisions. And then what we saw, that 550 endpoints over a year grew around 250 endpoints a year once the infrastructure really got established.
Yeah.
And that led to video conferencing being a commodity. It was just expected. Joining a call from a room was pop in and dial it yourself. There wasn't no technical support needed. It was easy to use, and a video and content just once again became a commodity, whether you're at your desktop or in your meeting room or you're at home or you're bringing in externals. Now, Fast forward, we had gotten the service, self-service, well-established. Once again, that started 2014. It evolved and iterated up until pre-COVID. We were preparing to go to Microsoft Teams from on-prem Skype for Business. We had done all the prep work. We had done a small set of pilot users. Once again, we had no idea COVID was coming. And we had about 5,000 of our users on pilot for Microsoft Teams. And then we implemented.
I love your scale, Steve. You're like, small pilot, just 5,000, you know.
Yeah, now we're up to 90,000 employees. And then when you hear the size from going from 5,000 to 77,000 at the time in 1 week from Skype for Business to Microsoft Teams when COVID did kick off.
That's an amazing journey and a testament to everybody was rapidly going to cloud, but that really is rapid. 1 week to put another 65,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did have the curiosity, would our Skype infrastructure, we had quite a robust Skype infrastructure, on-prem deployment, would it handle everyone from home? But we never got a chance to test it. And we just went straight to Teams and took that variable away and now put that over into Microsoft's the ball court, which they had their own struggles.
Yeah. They had everybody. They had the biggest. I remember them scrambling around to spin up new servers, new regions, new Azure was getting topped out. I mean, it really was a massive growth time. But across the whole industry, it was a very pressured time, but fortunately, we came through it.
Yeah. And leading up to COVID, we had been doing some work with Cisco in the background to ensure we would have the interop that we had with Microsoft Meetings, you know, because once again, Cisco acquired, you know, back then it was now CMS.
Yes.
And we had interop between our Microsoft Teams meetings and our Cisco rooms. And we wanted to ensure that seamlessness would continue through to Microsoft Teams. And we had confirmed that they were going to be developing CVI, but it wasn't ready when we were ready. So we ended up deploying Pexip because they were ready first as an interim solution. And luckily we had done it right before and everything went on lockdown. So we had video conference interop there and ready to go and ready to scale. COVID kicked off. We went 100% remote and everybody sat back and watched it all work for the most part. So it was exciting times. So once we got through COVID, we moved everything to the cloud in terms of our calling. We then started to think, okay, video conferencing is truly a commodity. You know, 2020, 2021, we started thinking, what is next in video conferencing? We had dealt with years of Cisco CMS and Microsoft Skype for Business interop challenges and speed bumps that we hit. And we were continuing to see those once we did eventually migrate from Pexip CVI to Cisco CVI. I think that was late 2020. I think it was around September. And we saw the same interop challenges and woes. They weren't unfixable. It just took a lot of effort as a screaming customer to both big players.
To pull the big vendors together, yeah.
To work nicely, to play nicely. And we had great relationships and built, and we're making strides. But we then thought, what is the future of conferencing? And we reevaluated. And Microsoft Teams rooms were just starting to become relevant as far as I was aware. And yeah, we went off on about 8 or 9 month exercise to explore and deploy.
Yeah, you know, talk us through that evaluation because you took it really seriously and I respect how much effort you guys put into evaluating your options.
Luckily, we had a project team because if it were tossed over in my lap, I would have scrambled a little bit more, but we had a full-on project team. So I think that's important to note is to have the, you know, at a company our scale, is to have it properly resourced and really. Luckily, at the time, we were being proactive in planning and we weren't being reactive and trying to slap things in. And we were denying people trying to slap things in. So project team, we brought all our heads together and we had gone through the years of well-polished, the best industry-leading Cisco hardware and great rock-solid software in general for their endpoints and the room systems to now being a Windows-based PC, form factor PC, and a bunch of peripherals. And our instinct at the time was, okay, what's the next big player for all the peripherals? It's Poly. Yes. But it wasn't just Poly. Logi were quite new on the market and disruptive with the Rally Bar and some of their other products. And so we brought it all into a lab in our UK office. And we did a paper exercise to vet what kind of what specs made sense. And when we got down to feature details, we had come up with the conclusion in terms of feature parity, we thought it was most important to use the Windows-based Microsoft Teams room. So we had that vetted out pretty early.
Yeah.
And then we got a bunch of equipment in the lab, which then we whittled it down to further a kind of a short list of what to actually get end user feedback on. So it turned into a few Poly-based MTRs and a few Logi-based MTRs that we spotted 14 systems around the world in Dubai and Asia markets, here in the Americas markets, and of course the European market, to get feedback from a range of areas. And that went on. And then coming up on the end of 2021, we had our CEO was going to meet with one of his other peer CEOs of a recent acquisition we had just done. And that company we acquired was all Zoom and all Zoom rooms for their meetings and meeting room tech. And meanwhile, we were living with the woes and challenges of Teams in the cloud and our Cisco endpoints interrupt into them. And he came back from a meeting with him and seeing the experience that they have on a day-to-day basis. And he says, I can't go back to them and convince him to rip out his Zoom rooms and put in our solution that we have here. So what are we doing? And luckily down in the base, the first floor of the building he was in, on the campus I work at, he was there and we had one of these trial rooms, a proof of concept rooms, or pilot rooms. And, we ended up, I was called over to go meet him and present. Luckily we had so much analysis. We were trying to come to a conclusion ourselves. What is the future of our meeting rooms?
Yeah.
And I didn't have a good answer. Luckily we met and we presented all the pros and cons and the risks and some of the problems it solves in the market. And then the fact that even though it was quite immature, we would have a lot of influencing to do to bring Microsoft into alignment with the legacy of what Cisco has done over the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And what with the quality that we expect, and the decision was taken that day that we would accept that challenge and we would go that direction to remove that variable, the two big players in the market.
Yeah, there's never a perfect decision, but you decided to take on the one vendor. At least we have one vendor we're talking to that's both the service and the endpoint. Well, I say one vendor, you've got the OEMs as well, but one vendor from a software point.
Yep. And So that was, let's say 2020, end of 22 is when last quarter is when we actually started production installs. Now that is an important factor. From the time we agreed, okay, it's going to be Microsoft Teams rooms, let's go. This is an exciting challenge. Number one thing I had to do was educate myself. I had already been getting educated. I had to get my expert team that we had been living, eating, breathing, sleeping Cisco and traditional video conferencing for years needed to get smarter on Microsoft in the Microsoft world.
And it is a different world. It's Windows, it's all the cloud elements, it's the software on top, it's the patching, the maintenance, even the hardware is different.
Yep. And what I have found, to your point around the different ecosystems, all of the foundation and the ways of working that we had and the rigor that we had applied to the Cisco world, my lead guys that, when we got them into the Logisync and the Poly Lens and even Microsoft Teams Admin Center with tagging and in the Pro Portal now, I've seen them and I'm so proud of them for applying the same rigor that we had developed with Cisco. And it's just all ported right over. Now it's a lot more tools to manage, but so far so good. So we had to get my technical experts trained up along with myself. And then we had to get our operations team trained up. And we worked with Microsoft. Luckily, we're a pretty big company and we have a bit of swing and we're able to get free negotiated training packaged in with what all the other money we're spending with. And they're excited to see a trajectory of deploying more Teams rooms and more Teams licenses, of course. Overall, now I look back and that was, once again, 2022 was where we did a lot of the education and set in the standards. We went through even more complex. We learned a lot from the 14 rooms we deployed. Our company diversified that we partnered with to be our AV integrator. They brought some experience from and some negotiations with these third parties of screens, settling on NEC screens for the warranty that we get with them. And they brought in some expertise around QSC, which was a bit of a disruptor in the market that they weren't on my radar before 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're bringing more innovation out just recently, aren't they? So they're definitely disrupting a bit.
Yeah, I've been tapping my foot waiting for some of this innovation. So I'm really excited for it because really NEC for the screens. We ended up settling on Lenovo as a standard across the board for now as our MTR, our Windows MTR based and touch panel. We thought it was one of the better touch panel experiences and one of the more robust computes, and then Poly for our huddle rooms, Poly video bars for our huddle rooms, and Rally bars for our most common types of meeting rooms, and then QSC for our complex integrated rooms. So we went through, got those standards stamped back in 2022 and started deploying. And of course, we definitely went through major learning curves of the first 100 plus rooms getting deployed then and started iterate and update with starting from 2023. And we went with the principles of one of the biggest gaps was administration and management, to remote monitoring. The depth of quality of remote management monitoring you get from Cisco has been so evolved over 20 years.
I was going to say, it's a really, in the traditional space, that's a really robust story, right? And that whole white glove, and I can see whatever's going on from wherever, and I've got all this shorting. And I agree, our comparative story was very light. It's getting better, but it's still light compared to where Cisco is.
One of my little proud moments was early in the days, we were telling Microsoft our challenges. Our account team got us into the ears of the right people. We got a chance to present from the outside in to their board to tell them, to take them through a story of where we are coming from and where we're trying to go with their product and where we're having challenges. And a big one was their technical support. And I won't dig into detail on it here, but I've seen that drastically go in the right direction and improve. It's still not where it needs to be yet in terms of what we got with Cisco and Poly support and Extron support over the previous years. That same level of quality wasn't there with Microsoft, but they have definitely made strides in the right direction to improve that. And then the remote administration management. I'm so proud to see Microsoft have, just got lit up in our tenant this week for testing. The remote management of an MTR, you can actually see what's on screen and it starts to take control. And that was things I was harping on them back at the end of 2022. At the end of 2022 about. So exciting.
Yeah. And you mentioned on the kind of prep call, one of the things that you're excited about is a lot of the innovation seems to be happening in this software world. So the center of room cameras, the different framing, the IntelliFrame, there's a lot happening.
Yeah. I went to the Teams Rooms World event, not skeptical, but not expecting to get excited. Okay, it's another trade show type of event. And I went there, and what became clear to me was the roadmap. And seeing all the pieces individually come together with presentations, I don't know Microsoft's angle, but I was just, it, all the roadmap and where it's going became clear to me. And I was like, why is this not published anywhere? And I think it may be because it just gives your plan to your competitors. So maybe that's why they don't publish it anywhere. But anyway, once it became clear to me, I took it away and then all the dots started connecting. Copilot, of course, is a factor in AI, but then the center of room, the different angle cameras, so your center table and then different angles of cameras around the room.
Yeah.
And the ability to pull heads out of, recognize people by their faces and then recognize people by their voices with an intelligent speaker. All of that, as you mentioned, kind of software based, what you can do with that moving forward started to get me really excited and started to get me thinking, like, whatever company implements this at large, a company like ours implements it at large scale, I think they get a competitive advantage. Time will still tell if a company like mine makes a full plunge in and licenses every employee, but I think it would be a fun risk worth taking if someone senior happened to watch this video.
And your estate now is actually bigger than ever because you've just tipped over 1,000 Microsoft Teams rooms, but you've still got a lot of Cisco in play. You've still got interop there. Is that right?
So, yeah. Something I'm proud of the companies, they didn't make big reactionary decisions during the COVID lockdowns. We didn't close not anything notable. We didn't close any notable offices. So our footprint when things kicked off was about 1,650 Cisco rooms and all proper room systems at that point. No desktop endpoints or anything. And we went with the approach of life cycle replacement for our Cisco rooms. I mean, we couldn't get the funding for big bang of all those rooms. It'd be a lot of money.
Yeah, so it would be a lot, yeah.
As endpoints were up for life cycle, and that was going to be in large numbers. And of course, any new demand, any new builds, any your construction, your refit outs and things. And what we've seen up to this point, and let's say a year and a few months later from starting the deployment, we are just right up to about that 1,000 room number of MTRs, but oddly enough, I haven't seen the Cisco systems go away. I think we will see those finally start to reduce. I think I'll see them start to reduce this year. But yeah, this will be a real pivotal year where we're actually going to see Cisco endpoints going down and MTRs are already up there in big numbers. And I think we're going to settle in the end, probably somewhere around 2,600 rooms once the full transition is done. And then to be determined how the estate grows and molds from there.
That's awesome. Have you been looking at the kind of the mesh AR, VR scenarios?
Yes, that was one of the things I pitched when I pitched from the outside in to Microsoft. That's one thing I was excited for is how does the media room tech, obviously with the different camera angles, how does that then bring you into a mixed reality world? There's a lot of excitement, of course, around the Apple Vision Pro, and some of my responsibilities have grown in the past few months to where now I have to look at the devices aspect too in general. Mm-hmm. And we have some use cases in AstraZeneca where they're using AR and VR headsets, and we're looking at building a robust, and I'm having some major influence and starting to build a robust service around it versus reactionarily throwing a few out to these groups here and there.
Yeah.
And to make sure data is secured and stored properly and login things are done correctly, takes a lot of rigor at a company our size. And so we're working
on it. It's hard to hold that excitement back sometimes as well for the right reasons. It's like, we can't just have it go everywhere in every technology.
And in this space, especially with a company this large, pockets of groups of the org just go out and buy them. And they say, IT, we need them to work. And you know, we're like, whoa, now, so where's the budget? Where's the service? Who's going to own it? All these things are starting to come to a head now. Now, I don't know what HoloLens never got its traction to, as far as we've seen. We've got it. We kicked the tires on it. But I really would like to see, I don't know, maybe of course with MTR supporting touchscreens being software based, I would love to see that evolve into a point where maybe on an MTR, in a call, you're actually within a virtual space that you can go up and touch and zoom around on a digital whiteboard within the space. And then other people are at home on a headset and things like that.
Yeah, it's exciting. It feels like there's a lot going on in that space, and Microsoft have made some early bets there and actually built apps for the Vision Pro, which I wasn't expecting. They're clearly considering all these different services and device types.
Yeah.
Awesome. Steve, thanks for taking the time to talk us through that journey. It's an amazing journey and a real testament to how well you guys have done to get up to those numbers and keep those standards. Any takeaways you would say for your peers, what you've learned on this journey, that kind of up to the MTR rooms?
The biggest one for me, I went into this with a very open mind. I see some guys in the industry trying to hang on to legacy and what was comfortable to them. Open mind and assess objectively and test it. There are some scenarios we had some swing to be able to get free equipment to be able to test and evaluate. There were times that we actually ponied up our own money and bought the equipment because we saw there was probably legs in it, and that if we couldn't get the demo gear, that we would probably find a use for it if it stuck around.
Yeah.
And actually get hands on with the things, vet it out and evaluate it to make their decisions. And there's a bit of a skill there to try to project where things are going to become a problem later and try to mitigate for those at the beginning. So we have, for just a little quick anecdote on our standards, we had standardized on Ethernet displays so that you could put them on the LAN and check their status and things. And we also put Ethernet network capable PDUs, power strips, so we could power kick anything in the room. And we'd never had those with any of the Cisco endpoints before, just because we were moving to such a third party mesh of hardware that we said, let's put some security mechanisms in place. And though I would say, I honestly haven't seen that payoff yet. I think in the long run, we will see it pay off having that remote management and monitoring abilities.
Nice. Thanks for taking the time to share. Maybe we'll revisit when you tip over another milestone. I really appreciate your insights, and we'll talk in soon.
Sounds great. It's my pleasure. Thank you.